Apple Knocker Radio.
Robert, it's great to see you again, man. I hope you're doing well. Yeah. And I hope the weather's good. How is the weather up there right now, by the way?
It's pretty nice. It's sunny and clouds, but it's about 60 degrees right now. So it's one of the cooler days that we've had, but we're full into spring. So everything's green, everything's growing. It's nice.
Nice. Did you get your garden going?
No, I got yes and no. This year I'm just doing potted herbs.
Okay.
So I bought pre-started herbs yesterday, and I just have to buy I have to go out today and buy 16 different pots for them. So kind of starting, but
yeah. Well, that, yeah, that's cool. You? Yeah, we both have an interest in that stuff. So yeah, mine's I live in Northern Florida, so our weather is very different. And I planted my stuff probably about a month ago, and I actually just went out there and saw I've got some cucumbers coming in. My strawberries are going crazy, so it's going pretty good.
Nice.
But all right, so what we're gonna talk about primarily is your experience as a powwower, because it's a fascinating thing that in this day and age you are a practicing powwower. But before we get into that, can you explain to people who have never heard of powwow generally, what is powwow?
Okay, yeah. Think of powwow like powwow is like a collection of what I'll call old timey sort of prescriptions, magical charms, magical formulas for things like healing, agricultural uses like planting and harvesting tips, protection from diseases and evil influences, protection from like evil spirits, and also like negative witchcraft and such. It is kind of a throwback to an earlier time, but I believe and have found that 99.999% of it is still relevant in this day and age. Right. So it's basically like a Pennsylvania Dutch born, just sort of a folk magic tradition. It works alongside and intertwined with the Christian religion. Mm-hmm. It is a Christian practice. And it's just a tradition that believes that, God has asked us to go out into the world and do healing for people and cast out demons and fight against evil and such. And so that's kind of the work of a powwower.
Yeah, that's fascinating. The distinctly Christian aspect of it is something that really interests me, because so much of the magic community, if such a thing exists, people interested in magic, seems to be like, and then you have like normal mainstream Christians, or not normal mainstream, but just mainstream Christians. You have both sides. It doesn't quite fit into any of the boxes, which is something that I find fascinating about it, and why I love it, and why I love studying it. And it's really neat stuff. But how did you come to be interested in the subject, but also to study it and to become a practitioner?
When I was younger, there was a local powwower. I had never met her, but people had told stories about her locally. And I just thought, it's just is what it is. I didn't really have that much of an interest in what she was doing, but I always had an interest in things like magic. Growing up in like the late 70s and early 80s, there was a lot of like weird supernatural movies about like witchcraft, and it just always fascinated me. The whole idea of doing magic fascinated me. But I was also raised in a very Catholic household. But Catholicism has a lot of that sort of magic in it, where you light a candle and say a certain prayer to a certain saint and you have this result. But it wasn't until like the late 1980s, we had this freak ice storm in like May, in the town where I lived. And there was a guy in the bank saying, yeah, this is from that powwower up in Catawissa, a local town. And I think that's really what sparked like and set me off. Like, I want to be able to do that. That's fascinating to me. But at the time in the late 1980s, early 1990s, I mean, resources were limited. Nobody knew who the powwower was. Everybody had heard of her or whatever, but certainly I didn't have a car. I was just a teenager. I had no way to get to this, even though it was only 5 miles away. I had no way to get to that town. I had no way to find out who she was. And so I just had to rely on what I could find in like Walden books at the mall. which was nothing.
I remember the Walden bookstores in the mall, man. It says, yeah, I remember those very clearly.
That, I mean, it was a great store, but they didn't have like a powwow section. So,
Right.
and the public library, they may have had resources at the time, although very little has ever really been written about powwow. It's just one thing, I've never in my life been able to understand how to find a book at a library. So still to this day, I don't go to the library because I have no idea how to find anything.
That's funny.
Yeah, I never did. It's just, I think it's like an anxiety thing for me, but I just could never find anything. So I don't go to the library. But so yeah, I found books on witchcraft and I thought, well, maybe this is what magic is. I was just, and I met a woman in the mid 90s who at a yard sale, and she started talking about powwow with me and said, oh, I know somebody who's teaching powwow and you should join this group. And so for the next few years, I was learning powwow from like this local witchcraft group. But yeah, by the late 90s, I realized that that probably wasn't the best way for me to be learning powwow, and I wanted something a little more historical and cultural and such. And I just kind of went off on my own, and here we are. But yeah, it's just always been that interest in magic, that need for religion in my life, that need for that connectivity with God, and powwow just checks all those boxes. So,
So,
yeah.
like one of the things that I find really interesting, and something I admire about your teaching style, but also just your approach, is you're very passionate about keeping to the true historical and cultural roots of powwow, which have become very kind of confused. As you said, there's like witchcraft groups that want to try to take ownership over some aspects of it, or of various other traditions. And so I guess I just want to ask, where does that passion come from for you? I think you kind of touched on it a little bit in the last question, but this is something that you really try to keep people to keeping historically accurate to where powwow comes from and how it works. And where do you think that passion for you comes from personally?
So in the early 2000s, I left that witchcraft group altogether. It might have been 2001, 2002, I don't remember. Because I just realized I'm not going to find the answers I want there. And so I started reaching out to, I mean, there were very few people, but I started reaching out to these academics because now I had the internet, so I was able to start looking for things and reaching out to these academics who wrote about the subject. And when I explained my interest in it and what I had been taught, I was like blacklisted. They're like, yeah, like I once said, it's like missing a mortgage payment and it just ruins your credit score. And like anytime any yeah you try and get credit then for 7 years and they look at it and say nope.
So you were blacklisted from the scholarly end or from your former
Yes, from the
witchcraft circle?
scholarly end, they didn't
Oh,
want anything
wow.
to do with me. They thought I was an idiot. They just thought, well, you're here talking about like witchcraft and such, because I didn't know. It was all so confused in my mind. And even though I had been born and raised in Pennsylvania German culture, I had never heard of like these various gods and goddesses my whole life until this witchcraft stuff. And so I had it all confused in my mind. I'm like, well, I don't think you have to be Christian and all this. And the scholars and the academics were like, we're not gonna waste our time on you.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I thought I need to know the truth about this stuff because I very much want to learn it. It's very much a part of the culture that I come from, and what I had been taught so far was just blatantly wrong. I was desperate to like connect with somebody who could help, but they weren't interested. They didn't like that misinformation, disinformation. So I think that's why I just became so passionate about it, is because I also realized too, I have a friend who was born here in the United States, but she moved to Southwest Germany. And, she was also studying powwow and Brauerei. They're the same thing. But she was telling me how in Southwest Germany, their folk cultural traditions were completely wiped out by Adolf Hitler. Completely. So there are people nowadays, scholars and academics, trying to piece together what German folk traditions were, like their folk magic traditions and such. And so they look to the Pennsylvania Dutch because our scholars and academics have it all recorded. So if they're looking to Pennsylvania and they're finding, the most famous witch in North America teaching powwow, that's not good information. So that does a disservice to people who have like literally had their culture wiped out by the Nazis. So I'm very passionate about it for that reason. And plus, I just don't like nonsense. I mean, that does, I don't want people putting things into history where it never was. Like, oh, that the Pennsylvania Dutch were secretly witches pretending to be Christians. That's not true. And it does such a disservice to our, like, I don't care what people do in this day and age, just don't lie about it. Just say what I'm doing is brand new. It's inspired by the original, but it's something different. Because then otherwise you're intentionally confusing history. So there you go. I think because I worked very hard to piece it all together on my own because nobody was interested in helping me. And only after I started putting out good information and speaking out against the bad information and writing books and doing whatever whatever interviews and college lectures and such and the website, then I started being taken more seriously. And now I'm in touch with all those people, all those academic people, and I'm taken more serious now.
So you go through this training, this study, and then you how did you start how did you start actually using it and then becoming known as somebody who successfully uses it? Like, why did people start seeking you out?
I don't, I think it all just happened. It's kind of mystical, I guess, how it happened because I was learning about it. I was like, the people that were right directly close in my life, I was like basically practicing on. And it was getting really good results. And then, so I started putting the website, excuse me, in 2008, I started putting the website together. And it was really crappy back then. I had no idea what I was doing, but I was doing the best I could. And I started making YouTube videos back then, which were really bad, but
Have to start somewhere,
yeah, you do.
right?
But that's when I just start getting overwhelmed with people who are like, what is this? What are you talking about? Or my grandmother used to talk about this when I was a kid. I haven't heard anybody talk about this for 40 years. And so I think by me going like sort of public with it, it finally made people realize like it's okay to start talking about this now because in Pennsylvania, after the late 1920s, early 1930s, people stopped talking about it. They became ashamed of it. And while most people still heard of it and, on the fringes, people still practice it, for the most part, it was kind of shut down. So me coming out publicly and just like, not in an academic setting, but in an accessible to everybody setting, because every time I learned something new, I put it out there. I said, I'm learning this stuff. I'm sharing it with everybody for free. And people just started coming to me all the time like, this is fascinating. I didn't, I'd heard of it, or my grandmother practiced it, or my grandfather used to talk about it and then stopped. I don't know. So it was just, I think it, I came out at just the right time to fill a void that people didn't realize they had. And so then people started wanting to learn, but I was in no position to teach. And I still lacked self-confidence to actually get in my car and drive to a stranger's house and like do powwow for them. I just lacked that confidence.
Which is understandable. That's a big jump forward, right?
Yeah, it really is. And then, but once I started writing about it and, I started seeing success with the people around me, I started like getting more relaxed and opening myself up to the possibility of trying for other people, people I didn't know. And then, once I did that, I think I just came to the realization like I'm probably always going to be nervous. Talking to people, being on Zooms, whatever, I'm always going to have like that little anxiety, but the survival of the tradition and the fact that this is a successful form of folk magic that takes precedence. And in this day and age, people are still looking for reasons to maintain their Christianity. A lot of people are like, I'm kind of ready to leave Christianity. It's getting a bad name or so, and it doesn't do anything for me. Well, there's a reason to stay. there's still some really cool stuff about Christianity. And people need healing, people need spiritual things. So I think there'll always be a use for it. But I'm kind of going off now, so quick, throw a
Oh
question
no.
at me.
Oh no.
Bring me back.
That's perfect. And that's what I really just admire about the fact that you put yourself out there, because for the people who aren't familiar with it, like in certain regions of Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania Dutch culture is still strong, it wasn't that long ago, you'd still have some like neighborhood powwowers who'd come around and do their work. But you were the first, like, well, I don't know about the first, I think so, from what I can see, like in the modern era, to come out and say like, I'm doing this stuff. And I think that's really admirable. It takes a lot of guts, especially because, I mean, has it had any negative effects on your like general social life? Like, are any like skeptics or anything that try to denounce you or anything like that?
The only negatives it has are like even Bill and I used to attend a church, you know, because as I got older, I got away from the Catholicism and went back to more the German Reformed, which was the church of my dad and my grandfather and grandpa on that side of the family. And they were awesome about powwow. And
Really?
actually, the church that I went to was called the Red Church, which is the name
Oh,
of a
really?
popular powwow book. And even at one point, our pastor, she was learning powwow from Chris Bilardi, the author of the Red Church. So they were very open to it, very accepting. So I've never received any flack from Christians, other than like the far extremists were like, you know, somebody wrote something about me actually in a book saying, you know, Phoenix and his lies, and this is the
Oh,
devil
really?
making things up. You know, I'm fine, but where the negativity comes is people don't like to be shown history to dispute what their understanding of things is. So I get more negativity from like the neo-pagan community that they don't want their stuff to be debunked, you know, or they don't want to have somebody say, well, because this is initially why they started like coming at me, is where I say, okay, well, this is your version of it, but let's focus on the historical version of it, the actual version of it. Like, that's your take on it, but here's the truth of it. And that was not tolerated. That still, I don't believe, was tolerated in that community. They like to have their, you know, their fantastical ideas or whatever. So that's really where the negativity comes in. But that doesn't bother me because, you know, I know what I'm doing. I can back up everything with, you know, historical records and such with. But that's really it. Nobody, I mean, my family just has all known that I've been weird my whole life. And you know, Bill is not really, he's interested in it and enough to like, he thinks it's cool when I go to a university lecture or something, but he doesn't take part in it. My son is hit or miss with his interest in it. You know, sometimes he wants to do powwow, sometimes he wants to watch Star Wars. It's just, you know, he's 13. He doesn't care. But so no, it's just been nothing but a positive influence in my life.
I love hearing that. I love hearing that. And so one of the things that I find interesting in powwow, and one of the things that I just love about it, and why I love studying it, and also let me quickly say to all the viewers, listeners, whatever platform, among the links that I put in here, I will also put on the link to The Red Church, which is the book that Rob just referenced, by Chris Bilardi. It's one of the best books you're going to find on about powwow. But so the big thing in the powwow tradition is like all of the healing comes from God. Right, you always stress this, like in whenever you are teaching or instructing or just talking about it, you always stress that it's not you, you're not special, it's God, it's all up to God. And so could you just talk a little bit about that kind of general philosophy and how you look at, or just how powwow looks at how these modalities work?
Yeah, for sure. So that's always been like one of the hardest things to explain. So I kind of came up with this, which I don't have a whiteboard behind me to draw it, but there is, you know, one thing that people say is the secret to powwow is you have to believe. But I would challenge that it's a little bit more than belief. That's kind of a dangerous way to live. Like, you know, oh, I believe this glass of Pepsi is going to cure my cancer. You know, that's, I don't hold to that idea. But I see it as a triangle. Like the top of the triangle is God. This side is the powwower who believes in God, so there's that connection. And then here is the client that comes. They wouldn't be coming to you if they didn't believe in your ability. But without, if they don't believe in God, then there's part of that triangle missing. But if they also believe in God, then we have this like complete, I don't know. I hope that makes sense. It's a
No, it
triangle I'm
absolutely
very
makes sense.
proud of, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But
I remember you discussing that at the IHS conference last year as well. And I thought it was a perfect way to symbolize it. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. So I know my faith in God is strong, and my connection to the client is strong because I want them to be better. They come to me because they believe in me, and if they also believe in God, we have just wonderful, like it's perfect, you know? So I don't believe that when I'm powwowing for somebody that I'm blasting energy through my hands, that, you know, like Reiki, they think there's some light coming from somewhere and it's being channeled through and whatever. That's not what's happening in powwow. Powwow is not like that. Powwow was developed during a time when that was not the understanding of how stuff worked. And it was, you know, oh, you take a penicillin for this, and oh, you're burned. Oh, this is a biblical verse you say for it. And that's just what it was. You know what I mean? That was just this, that was the prescription for it. And so that understanding is you would say this verse, there may be a gesture that goes along with it, but it's entirely God that does it because it just is what it is. You know, that was the worldview, was that was the worldview, that was the understanding of it. And that's kind of carried into modern day. It's still, you know, it's just that belief in God. I think that's where a lot of people get tripped up with powwow, because people think they have a different understanding of God, or they try and scientifically explain away God. But I think there's nothing wrong with people who just believe in God, you know, and kind of keep it simple in that simplistic belief in God. And that's really what the key to powwowing is, you know, just you do the ritual, you do the say the charm, you do the work, and then God does the rest. And that's just it, you know. I don't.
When we're talking about the client also having faith in God, is it can it does it specifically faith in Christian God, like a Christian concept of God? Or what if somebody has, like, say, an agnostic perspective of God? Would that still be effective, or do you think this faith specifically has to be in the Christian notion of God?
Well, this is, I believe, why powwowers throughout history say, well, I will try for you. If any piece of that triangle is not there, or if it's weak, you know, or if it's, you know, here's the God at the top of the triangle, you know, the Holy Trinity as found within Christian tradition, and then the client comes to me and he believes in Zeus, you know, that's somewhere over here. Like, I'm not connected to that at all. He's connected to that, not to this. So I will try for you, but that requirement, you know, plus, and you can see that throughout history, like all the historical texts, I mean to say, they you need to speak the baptismal name of your client. And a lot of the books say, those who don't believe in the Bible cannot be cured by this method. So that's found through a lot of the historical texts. Now I am at the point, like, I will try for you. That triangle, you know, that's how I perceive it. If there's something missing between the client and God, you know, that's between them and God or whatever they believe in, but I'll still try, but I can't guarantee anything's going to work. So yeah, I can try for anybody for anything. People have come to me and say, well, I'm not comfortable with like Jesus and such. Can you say like, you know, Zeus and Thor? And, you know, I say, no, I don't, I don't see God in that way. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. Plus, who says Zeus and Thor will respond to that ritual? Those rituals were written with Christianity in mind and have biblical imagery and such peppered throughout. Like, who says a different deity would respond to those? You know what I mean? That's, or is that written? So yes, I definitely would try for somebody, no matter what they believed, but, you know, I can't control that part, or, you know, their belief and such and how God would interfere in their lives. I don't know. I don't have the answers to that. So hopefully that Hopefully that helped.
No, and that your humble attitude towards it is just I love that. And something I want to stress for the people listening is that you don't like you devote quite a bit of your time to this at this point, not only to talking about it, teaching it, but also practicing it. But you don't charge people money, correct?
Right, correct.
Yeah,
Now
but
I've taught
that's
classes. I've taught like several ongoing classes that I've charged for to learn the history and everything else about it. But no, you would never charge somebody to come to you. You would never charge anything like that.
And that is antithetical to powwow, right? Like if somebody were to try making money off it, that's actually antithetical to the powwow philosophy, correct?
Yes, because I'm asking God to do something for somebody, and then I'm accepting money on that behalf. That's outrageous. So it's like a taboo in the tradition. They think, the thought is if I were to start accepting money, then God would just strip me of the ability to do it at all. I could be saying the rituals and charms, and he's not going to be listening to me anymore. But yeah, that would be outrageous to accept money for things that God does, and it's not like we're putting so much of ourselves into it. It's not a hard tradition to practice. It's not, the rituals and stuff are not physically demanding and stuff. Some people have said that they believe they're taking the illness into themselves. That has never been my experience. I feel like maybe they're doing something wrong there. Maybe they're trying to do some sort of energetic thing, but that does not seem to be the That seems pointless. You know what I mean? Asking God to heal them, but then you have it. Like I don't understand that, but anyway.
No, I love that, and I think it's such a testament to just your sincerity, the fact that you don't take money, like you don't take money for this, and it's something that you put your time in. And like you said, it's not super rigorous or super difficult, but still, I'm sure you have a son, a family, you have things to do, and yet you still choose to do it. So I don't know, I think that's admirable. And I just think it's a good testament, like I said, to your sincerity in it. But so while we're talking about you had just mentioned how it's not that physically demanding. Could you just explain like the general skeleton to a general powwow session? Somebody comes to you with a say a hurt back. How would you go about working with them?
There is kind of a generic sort of ritual format, I'll say. They're seated in a chair facing east. East is the direction of sunrise. And so that's, and you can think of like some symbolism with sunrise. It represents hope, it represents a new day, whatever. They're seated in the chair. I will, whatever quote unquote ritual or charm I plan to use, I will say the words, and there's usually some sort of gesture involved. Whether it's like the pulling out of a pain thing or just you running your hands over the area, depending on what you're trying for. So I'll speak those words and then do that ritual three times. And then there'll be a space of a few minutes. And during that time, that first space is when you can offer them maybe a hot tea, maybe an herbal remedy if they know they can take such things. You've got to be really careful with that. But then I'll do the ritual three more times. And then that second space is when I'll offer them something like if I've made a talisman for them or a Brauch bag, which is just a bag with various herbs and talismans inside, maybe some prayers on paper rolled up. Then I'll do a third, the ritual three more times. And then that's the end of it. Then they get sent on their way. That's generally the ritual format. You do it three times, and then you offer them some sort of like home remedy or hot tea or something. Do it three more times, offer them something quote unquote magical, follow it up final three times and send them on their way. It shouldn't become a social kind of situation. Certainly you wouldn't want to, offer them like a vodka spritzer or anything like that. It's just, you kind of have to keep it business. I used to have they. I believe they moved away though. There used to be these two neighbors in our neighborhood who would just kind of show up at my house. And they were just a fun couple. Their lives were a mess. They were in pure chaos. But they would just pop in if I'd be working out in the garden or whatever, and they'd need powwow for one reason or another. And so there was that element like they would just pop in. I'd have some neighborly chat with them and then share with them like some homemade jam or pickles or whatever. And then a couple of months later, they just, kind of crawled through the hedges in my yard again, like, hey, Rob, But so there's certainly that kind of a friendly element to some of the people that come, like the repeat customers, and they ended up becoming on friendly terms with me, and we'd share recipes and such. But that's pretty rare. So basically, the people come, you do your thing, then they go, and maybe you'll see them again, maybe you won't. Maybe they'll give you a follow-up, like, oh, that didn't work, or that did work, or thanks, or whatever. And or maybe you don't, and that's okay too.
Yeah, that's got to be interesting though to have somebody come over and you do something like that and then you just never hear from them again. That seems like an interesting scenario. And so in addition to the healing aspects, there's also agricultural aspect to a lot of powwow. Could you just discuss that a little bit?
I guess not technically part of the powwow tradition, but it has become a part of my life as a powwower because it's very much part of the Pennsylvania Dutch culture, is planting by the moon, the phases of the moon, the signs the moon is in and such. So the really general, now there's a lot more nuance to it, but the really general overlook is things that grow above ground, annuals, plants that grow above ground, you plant in the building moon, the waxing moon, because as the moon grows in size, it's believed to pull that water deep from underground, towards the surface. So it helps plants grow above ground. As the moon is waning, decreasing in size, the moisture is pushed downward into the earth. So it's better for planting the underground things like potatoes and carrots and onions, things that grow under the dirt. So that's like a general rule of thumb. And it's easy enough to remember. It's easy enough to follow. But it's interesting though, because the opposite is true when you're cutting back and such. So when the moon is growing, it's the best time to like cut your hair, cut your fingernails, cut the grass, cut down weeds and stuff, because they'll come back slower. So I just, that's just one kind of interesting thing. But yeah,
Yeah,
that's.
real interesting. Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that too when making talismans or Brock bags or even herbal remedies and such. You want to time that by the purpose of the thing you're making, find out which is the best kind of astrological sign to make that in, find out whether it's something that you're trying to build or decrease with it. So you plan accordingly with the moon. And it's really interesting. And it just helps you fine-tune things. And like this is these are like measurements of time and almost like calculations of when to do certain things that God has put in place. It's believed that God has put all this stuff in place for us to unlock the mysteries of, and find out the best time to do these things. And that's the Pennsylvania German belief across the board. Like God has created all these signs. The signs have various body parts associated with them. So when the moon is in Aries, you work for things for your head. When it's, in Taurus, it's your throat and all, so it's there are various times too, if somebody doesn't have an emergency situation, but maybe a reoccurring problem with like their lungs or something, you'd wait for the moon to be in an appropriate astrological sign, schedule it. You could even fine-tune it to a certain day of the week. So anyway, I'm kind of going off on a tangent with that, but that's I could talk about this all day. It's just,
Right. No, I
yeah,
mean, I'm
it's
happy
just,
to. It's, please feel free to talk about whatever you want, man. This is perfect.
yeah, it's nice too. And and it's cool too, because then when plants are growing and such, as you're harvesting, a lot of different things. Like last year I grew corn for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was in my little garden. I had corn growing, and there are a couple charms. I made a video about it, about using the corn silk.
Oh, right. I remember that. Yeah.
So it's interesting too, because as you're harvesting plants, you're getting things for other purposes as well. And I really like that. I really like that. So anyway, yeah, and we have a bunch of healing plants that grow. Like I have comfrey all around our property, and that has many healing qualities. And you can harvest comfrey up to four times a year, cut it completely
Really?
down, and then it immediately grows back. So you get all this like wonderful healing stuff just from a single plant. So yeah, there's a lot of agricultural stuff. Should you choose to go that way with your powwow, you really can like learn a lot and make your own medicines and such. And that's one of the things I taught Josani years ago, was to make chapstick and healing salves and teas. And I think it's a really useful skill to have. So that's part of my powwow line.
Yeah, and it's also just cool if you just like working in the garden like I do. Yeah, I've got some, or I never, I've always grown vegetables, but I started growing herbs after learning some of the stuff from your course. So yeah, it's just a great excuse to get back out there in the dirt, get your hands in the dirt, and grow stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and so there's another aspect to powwow, which is the whole hex thing, the whole. In like the hex and cough and all of that. Could you talk about that aspect of powwow a little bit?
Sure. Back in the day, and I say back in the day, I'm talking about like 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, people believed a lot of their like illnesses and afflictions and misfortunes were caused by witchcraft. Now we, as modern folk, can look back and say, well, you can find scientific explanations for these things. However, in modern times, we actually have millions and millions of people who self-identify as witches. And not all of them are have your best interest in mind. So nowadays, if somebody says, well, I believe I pissed off a local witch, and now I believe there's something on me because this, and this happened, that may very well be the case. Now more than ever, witchcraft is a more of a threat now than it ever was throughout the history of the world, I think, because there are actually people openly professing to be witchcraft. I even learned witchcraft for years. And some of the things that I learned how to do are horrendous, and now they're the things that I work against. So there's an aspect to powwowing that is like the anti-witchery stuff. Now, a lot of powwowers choose not to go there, and that's fine. You could just be, your simple little self, doing a couple burn charms for people, doing your gardening and such, and that's a totally acceptable aspect to the practice or form of the practice. But if you choose to take it a step further into the anti-hexerei stuff, that's where it becomes what is known as Hexenmeister work, where you're taking mastery over witchcraft. You're fighting against it. You're actively protecting people from it and fighting against it, because now, like I said, we understand that it's out there. It's very real. People believe it's very real. I've seen some things, I've learned some things that are very real. But at powwow being a healing tradition, inspired, empowered by God, means that for me anyway, I feel an obligation to help people overcome that if they feel victimized by it. So there are, if you look at any of the historical powwow works, you're going to find a lot of anti-witchery stuff. Lot of it. And like I said, this was born from a time where people didn't understand things when they went wrong. But nowadays we need those rituals and such. So yeah, it's certainly an interesting part, and you can take it. Even I've gone like I've taken it too far at times, where I've just gone like, I don't know, upset about things, or maybe paranoid about things, or anxious about stuff because I have anxiety issues. But really, you just have to kind of remain calm and say, maybe this is what I'm dealing with. We don't know for sure. We'll do the work anyway, just to be safe. But then go about your life. Don't live in fear. Don't let it overwhelm you. Yes, I've met some very nasty people in the world who have threatened me with various things, and I just take my precautions against it, and I can't let it control my life, but it's an interesting, certainly it's an interesting subject to talk about.
Definitely.
Yeah, so
What was it you think that like made them specifically angry at you? Is it just because it's a Christian tradition or?
I think, like I said, I put information out there that says, here's what's being put out there, but here's the actual truth, and
Oh,
I think,
okay, right.
yeah, that's really made a lot of people angry. Like recently, I think I shared something with all of you guys where I had done an interview, and somebody wrote back, like responded, like, why are you listening to this guy? He knows nothing. And like, it was just a series of it was just a an email interview. You know what I mean? I just answered my questions, and you know, it's things like that. People get upset and they just, you know, they lash out and they don't like that. They don't like to be proven wrong. Nobody likes to have their worldview challenged.
Right.
Nobody wants to find out that the politician they hate has done something good. Nobody likes to find out that their magical tradition might not be what they, you know, might not be the Mist of Avalon that they thought it was. So, you know, no, even Christians don't like to find out how horrible Christianity has been
Right.
for 2,000 years. But there it is. That's just that it is what it is. But anyway.
It just seems a shame because like you're a person who's perfectly willing to engage in scholarly, rational discussion. Like it should be a topic where you can sit down and say, well, hey, let's figure this out. Here's my evidence, here's your evidence, and let's see who makes the better case. Like it's just it's silly how people they become so fixated on one camp. You know, like I'm in this camp, this is my camp. And everything becomes about defending that camp, and they just lose all touch with the importance of truth and
Right.
like just general principles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Very,
Absolutely.
it's very frustrating. Because I know you, talk to you, you're a nice, rational person. You'll have a conversation. Like people don't have to lash out at you and insult you and everything. It's just kind of silly. But and so you teach a lot of powwow too. How long have you been teaching?
I think I started teaching, hasn't been too long, maybe 2019, 2018. Because prior to that, people have asked me to teach them and I just didn't feel that I could, or I didn't know how, you know? So then I started teaching people mostly like online and then trying to, and then making like anybody that I've taught online, I've made private videos for demonstrating things and such and shared them. That stuff wasn't public, though that was private. Or I've been able to meet some of these people in real life and kind of complete the training in it one-on-one. But I would say I don't know how many, I can't even, probably well over 50 people I've
Oh,
taught.
wow.
It's like 4 or 5 years. But that's where I started falling off the radar. That's where I started like it, that was taking up a lot of my time. And you know, things in life and such were just not conducive to me maintaining that. And so I just kind of, I never officially stopped teaching. I just kind of fell off the radar with it. And like, yeah, you're part of the one email group. And I just kind of fell off the radar with that. And but that's just life. I mean, that's just
All
how
right.
it is. So yeah, like teaching people on that basis of like my goal is to teach you to be a powwower is not really something I'm in that interested in doing anymore. I'd rather all the information I put out there is designed that you can just go and be a powwower. Just read this stuff. Like, here it is. And if you have any questions, here's where I got this information from. Here's how I know how to do all these rituals and charms, because that's one thing you don't really find in any books.
Right.
Here's how to do it. And now go. Go
Right.
and do it. You know, it's not an initiatory tradition. You don't even need me to teach you one-on-one. You can just, you know, the information's now out there, and I hope people use it.
Yeah, and you've been such a big help in getting that information out there. And so would you do you feel like there's a growing interest or has it remained the same?
Don't know. I don't have any social media anymore. I haven't had social media for a couple of years, so I
You're a
don't know.
wise man. You're a wise man.
I except YouTube, and that's one way, you know, but yeah, so I don't know what the atmosphere is anymore. I have no idea. But and one of the reasons why like I haven't been getting emails is because the my website I handed it off to another powwower and he's been working on it and such. So while all my work is still out there, the like the contact link doesn't lead to me anymore. It's just like a
Oh, okay.
thing. So everything that you see about my website is just a copy of, it's a snapshot from last year. Nothing has been added to it because he's working on rebuilding a lot of it and doing stuff. He's way more tech savvy than I am, and he has time to do it. So I haven't been getting a lot of people getting in touch with me, except people who already know my email address or know my phone number and can text me. So I don't know. People haven't been asking me about learning, but I think part of it is because they can't get in touch with me. I have no idea. I just taught a college class like a month or two ago. Most of the kids in the class were not from Pennsylvania, so they had never
Oh,
heard of
really?
it. And they didn't take the class to learn how to become powwowers. It was a religion and magic course at college. So while they thought it was interesting and such, none of them were like, I want to be a powwower. I didn't expect that. That wasn't the point of it, but I don't know. I think there's always an interest in magical traditions, and I think there's always going to be an interest in specific cultural traditions like powwow, hoodoo, these ones that you can link to a very specific set of people, a very specific point in history, a very specific location. And I think that's wonderful. And like, one of the people that I most recently taught that has kind of run with it, Melissa, who I know you've talked to, she's doing such an amazing job, like, with it in her life, and she's translated it to the area she lives in. And she's been making a lot of videos talking about it and her religious experience. I love that. I really, really love that. And I think her videos get a good response. And I think that's kind of sharing it in her area and making it more accessible. So I hope there's people out there learning from her videos and maybe incorporating some of those things into their own lives. Because I think we'll always have an interest in natural healing, spiritual healing, and that sort of thing, whether we call it powwow or not. That's it.
It's funny. I don't know if you remember this, but the first time, well, I'm sure you remember the first time we talked was at the conference. But I remember because you had brought up powwow, and I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I was used to seeing the circular, like we called them hex signs. And I just remember being like, oh yeah, I know all about the powwow. I remember seeing that all around, and I remember you being like, well. It's not really actual powwow, right? Like that was one of the misinterpretations, right? That somebody wrote a book about. Could you just clear that up just for a little bit?
Back in, I would say maybe the 1800s or something, we started seeing paintings on barns in Pennsylvania, like hearts or stars, flowers, that sort of thing. And it kind of became a touristy, like tourism. Started in the early 1900s, and
You're
people are
right.
like, what are these Amish people? And what are these? They thought everybody was Amish that was, Anabaptist. And what are these like symbols painted on the barns, And really, they were just, paint colors were limited back then, but they were just something to make it look a little more pretty. And I believe it was a journalist who first coined the term hex signs. What are these hex signs? Hex meaning the word for witch. And I can't remember the first person, the first painter of these things that said, oh, there's some money to be made here. But they started painting them and they started elaborating on them and adding more symbolism and such, like tulips for faith and, all this sort of thing, and the disselfink, whatever, and started attributing these talismanic meanings to them, where that didn't come from the Anabaptist people. That came from somebody who cashed in on this idea, like, that's a really good idea. I can make some money off of this. So that was the mid to late 1900s. But also, modern powwowers and other magical practitioners, we've all really like thought, well, I like that. I like that aspect to it. I like that we have our own sort of Pennsylvania Dutch talismans, and they've been attributed these meanings, and I can understand all the symbolism for it. So you might find a lot of powwowers in this day and age using them, but historically, that's a very modern part of the powwow tradition. It was just more of a cutesy, touristy Pennsylvania Dutch thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I bought a bunch in my house, just because I just it reminds me of my great aunt who lived right next door to us. I used to go over her house all the time. She just had them as decorations all over her house. Like no claim was ever made about any magical abilities or anything, but they were just part of the decor. And so it's always been lodged in my mind. So yeah, I got some when I bought this house a couple of years ago. I've got some up in here, and I just like them. It just reminds me of home, man. Even though I
Yeah.
live in Florida, it's like I'm bringing Pennsylvania into Florida.
Yeah, I bet your friends are ask you about them because they
Yeah,
probably know.
I've had a couple people say, "Oh, what are those?" And yeah, I just say, "I just think they're cool." You know, it's they and I tell them, but I do tell them it's the Pennsylvania Dutch tradition, which is always fun because most people have never even heard of the Pennsylvania Dutch. Like, if you're not from Pennsylvania, nobody even really knows what that is. Although I did go, I went to a yard sale. I stopped at a yard sale probably 6 months ago. It was a while ago, but I found all this Pennsylvania Dutch stuff. There are Pennsylvania Dutch cookbooks, like all of this stuff. And I started talking to the woman, and they had a very, very large house. They clearly made a lot of money. But it turns out that they had moved from Pennsylvania like 20 years earlier. So it's just always kind of cool when you randomly meet somebody that knows. Like, she knew every like all the regions of Pennsylvania that I was talking about. So it's just kind of a neat coincidence. And I do intend to make some recipes out of that Pennsylvania Dutch cookbook someday.
Oh, good. So you
Someday,
got it.
man.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all right. So you're kind of and I respect the fact that you're kind of drawn back from some aspects of things because you have your own life, your own things to do. But are you going to continue to maintain your channel, and are you going to continue to lecture on these things? And that's I want to make sure you kind of mention it, but I want to make sure everybody knows this. You do, it seems to me, pretty frequently lecture on the topic in informal spaces and formal spaces in universities and such. But anyway, so what are your plans, do you think, for the future?
I think I will still keep doing that. A couple of years ago, I had hopes for a couple of people I was teaching to sort of take over all that stuff. My son's at a weird age, like he needs his dad, and but then as soon as I stop doing it, if nobody else picks up the work, that leaves that void open for everything I've done over the past 20 years to become undone in an instant.
Right.
So I've re-sparked my activity with the YouTube channel. I'm definitely going to keep going with that. And yeah, if I get asked to do lectures and such, I'll do that. Llewellyn, the publisher of like all the Wicca and magic books and such, because I published with Llewellyn before. They sent out an email to all their publishers to do Llewellyn Con. And but they have so many authors and such, and they can only choose, I believe, 40. But I put my name in for that.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if I'll be a part. I know they do it every year, but I haven't been chosen yet. But I think I have something different to talk about. You know what I
Right.
mean? So we'll see. If I get the opportunity to do something, I will. But yeah, people can always just find me on my YouTube channel. That's really the only outlet I'm doing right now. And I hope they check it out because I have a lot of good information on there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'll have all the links below, including to your book, which is this. I have to say this for other people's benefits. Something that I found funny and interesting was when we started the email group studying powwow. You listed all these books, but you didn't list your own book. I found, or at least I didn't see it. And I just found that funny because I was on that email chain for like a couple months before I realized that you have your own book out there, and it's an excellent book. So that will also be included in the descriptions below with the video or whatever platform people are watching it on. But man, I really appreciate the time. And oh, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I generally don't promote my book that much because if I'm talking to you or if you're on my website, you can get all that information. I'd rather people like spend the money on something else, because I didn't write it to make money, and certainly I don't make any money from it, but yeah, I mean, especially like in the email group and such, I figure anything that's in that book, I'm just going to tell you anyway. So, save the
Right.
10 bucks and spend it on something else. But yeah, no, I'm glad you got it. I'm glad you like it. I hope if people do read it, I hope they like it. But
It just yeah, it just it just speaks to your integrity though, man. Most people are going to try to promote their stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it
no.
does speak to your integrity that you yeah, you it's I guess I just want to make sure everybody understands, like, I've known you or I know you outside of here, not real well, but I've studied under you, and I know you through exchanges, and you're just your integrity is something that I really admire, and I just want to make sure people understand that. Even if they may disagree with your tradition or your idea, but like your heart's in the right place, man. I think that's awesome, especially in this day and age when everybody's just scrapping to get their own. But,